As you're being seated, you will notice that a lot of your fellow worshipers are not here because they're eking out that last little bit of summer. It's funny, when we were up in Minnesota, the unofficial end of summer was about July 30th, and I'm not kidding. For me, anyways, I'm temperature-based. And then I've giggled as we've lived in the Carolinas and Florida that actually somebody would say today's the official end of summer. And then I will say tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, why am I still sweating? As you can imagine that to be true. Listen, here's what we want to do this morning. And is this sound okay with everybody? Are you hearing something you need to be fixed? Okay, good. Just making sure I saw a few of you go like that. Didn't know if it was just me and my appearance. What I'd like you to do right now for a couple minutes is to greet each other. But here's the assignment while you're greeting each other. The assignment is that today's a good day that you can move to a different seat and sit next to somebody who might be sitting alone. Sorry, Brian, you happen to be sitting alone right now. And but I'm going to ask you as we're greeting each other, maybe consider moving your seat a little bit more forward. This morning is more of a workshop style of sermon, a little bit more interactive on your part, and it's going to be kind of fun. So as you're greeting with someone, meeting with someone, talking with someone you don't usually talk to, greeting the dogs, getting a dog treat for yourself, they look like nachos. They're pretty good. So you can do that. I only made one mistake. I didn't go back a second time. But we'll ask you to meet with each other, move a little bit forward, find yourself a new seat, and then we'll start in a few minutes. Go. Okay, good. As you're finding your new seat next to a new friend, somebody you should have been talking to all this time, two announcements for you to acknowledge, and we appreciate that. And here they are, very simply. One is that if you'll notice on your announcements that we're officially announcing that Rose will be coming to service as the church administrative assistant, for which I am thankful. Let's welcome her. That'd be kind of fun. All right, let's do that for her. All right, that's neat. We have a job description for her that is endless, and it's kind of, I just feel real good about it. I'm not sure she does, but I feel real good about it, and that's all that matters. And she's just a great asset to have here and will definitely help us with all the things we need to do. The other one is this. Notice on your announcement sheet, if you go down to about the middle of the sheet, you can read the other ones, okay? About the middle of the sheet is a description of an HD discipleship group, and that is High Definition Discipleship Group. And I've been working with Matt Irvin to put together a group that is different than any dynamic you've ever experienced. Our small groups, there'll be three of them. You'll see them start to get advertised next week in our announcements here. But HD Discipleship Group, open to men and women to bring a different level of focus and clarity to the Scripture, HD, that maybe you've never seen before. And it's just got a whole different way to meet. Notice the times are a little different. Everything about it's a little different. And Matt and I are going to be basically facilitating this group. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, the best way to tell you about it is I'll tell you that Matt and I are not going to teach it. We're going to facilitate it. Oh, and if you come, you're going to have to do some homework. And oh, if you want to come, you've got to sign up if you want to come to this group. So, Matt, would you stand up? Help me out, buddy. A typical night, just stand out here somewhere so everybody can see. Okay, and then talk good and loud. Come on up here. Okay, over there is good. Good. I might keep him here for the whole sermon. He could just help me out. But listen, just give me the real brief version. If I were to commit to doing this, what are we talking about, Matt? What would it look like?
I think it would look like it, and that's it.
I've not been known to pontificate. I'm sorry, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, good. we're not going to do that, but listen, Matt's become a real good friend. We have a love for each other. We both come at things different ways, but we actually come at the same way as the fact that the Scripture is the focal point of our lives. And we continue to seek to dive into it for clarity and for focus about our person. Don't move. I need you. Did I not tell you I got a sermon coming up after this? I need you there, all right, to pontificate. That's right. You fake this like I go. But here it is. We want to drive a group deeply into the Word of God. So here's what's going to happen on a typical night. If you sign up for this, you're going to get a week ahead of time. You're going to get the Scriptures. And we've already decided we're starting with sin. You're going to get some of the Scriptures you need to study in regards to sin. You're going to have to keep a notebook. You're going to have to study those Scriptures, make your notes, and then along the way, we will have some articles that we're going to flip you that we're going to expect you to go and look up for more background on sin or whatever the topic is for that night. Then when you come in that night, we will then facilitate discussion to really go through this, nuts and bolts, sin, first week. But we also have the freedom of saying after and during the first week, we're not nearly done with this. We're going to stay here for another week and work on sin and get this doctrine down. This will involve, listen carefully, this will involve that kind of study, deeper praying for each other, and the guts and the courage to look each other in the face and say, what's the mission that God has for you on this planet, and what are you doing about it right now? I'm sorry, Matt, but we did say we were going to do that. And we're going to put each other on the spot and ask, what are you doing now that God has called you to do in the kingdom, and how are you doing it, so that we can support you in prayer? Did I get that about right? Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your help. This is going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Okay, you can go sit down. I appreciate it a lot. It's been fun to get together with them. One key question went on behind all your backs. We looked at each other one day sitting over a soft drink and basically said to each other, now can you be quiet and let the people talk? And all that, this is not funny, Mrs. Irvin, okay? Or Mrs. Gibbons, okay? So we both committed that we would indeed steer discussion, further go on to more of a Socratic method of asking the key questions as the discussion went, stopping it if it got to a wrong point. But the reality is we both made a commitment, didn't we, Matt, that it is not there to come listen to Mike or Matt. It's, what are you laughing at, Mrs. Gibbons? That's my wife laughing at me. But the point is, we're going to do that. But on the other hand, we will have prepared. So listen, if you're interested in that kind of a study, it's going to be a little bit more intense, a little more detailed, blah, 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 blah. Small groups are still going to go on. They're going to be tremendous. Don't have to do everything. But if you feel called to do that and want to tie into something on that level, it will be available. And you see the announcements coming up in like 3 weeks on a Thursday night. It starts 6:55 to 8:35, something different in your schedule. Okay, good. I'm glad we covered that. Hey, listen, this morning is about coming out in the open about something that we've all known for a lot of years since we came to Christ, and we've all, I can't say messed it up, but I can say we've lied about it. At least I have. Here it is. I meet somebody on a Sunday morning who comes in here, and they spill out a couple of gut-worthy things. I mean, really good gut-worthy things. And I look at them. I don't know what to do. I'm not like this, I'm not spooked, but I'm kind of like, man, this is serious stuff. I use a phrase like this is deep end of the pool stuff. What are we going to do here? And so I rear back, real deep back in the back of my mind to throw out the most wisdom-filled thing I can come up with, and I got nothing, okay? And I say this, I'll pray for you. I walk away from the encounter, I'm done. I did my stuff. I told him I'd pray for him. And surely I will. Someday in the future, maybe 10 minutes from now, I'll go, oh yes, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I got to pray for them. They're really going through it. God, you know those people. You know their situation. Be with them and bless them. That's the favorite prayer of people. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And I go on my way and might not pray again. Now, I'm telling you things like this that I have done at times. I'm not saying I'm proud of this, but I dare say if I got with you alone and you were transparent with me, you'd tell me you've done the same thing. And you'd also tell me that people you said that you'd pray for, you have forgotten to pray for. Has that happened? And you thought about it days and weeks and months later when you saw them again. I was supposed to pray for them. I didn't pray for them. Well, you know, sometimes we promise to pray, and sometimes we do pray. On your outline, there's a level one kind of praying that most Christians do for each other. Someone who's even in dire need, we tend to pray, and what we do is this. We tend to pray for their health. You ever notice how we pray for people's health? All the time, we pray for people's health. We'll pray for their situation. We'll pray for their family. We'll pray for their particular problem. And if we can't figure out what to pray for, we will fall back on the famous words of, Lord, bless them. Correct? Have you done that? And then what you'll do at the end of that prayer, and I don't want to get into this, but you'll do this, because if you add this magic little whammy at the end, it means that God has to do what you just prayed for. And what's the magic at the end? In Jesus, what? In Jesus' name. Didn't they ever teach you this? You pray in Jesus' name at the end, and then God goes like this. Okay, you got me. Okay, I got to do it. I'm just making this as cold and as easy to be as can be, all right? That's level one praying. That's basic stuff. That's basic knowledge of somebody, basic reaction. And I'm not saying it's bad, but there's another kind of praying that I'm calling level two kind of praying, where you go much deeper and you pray with eternity in mind. Have you ever prayed for a friend or somebody in a situation and prayed that their body might be spent and their soul and their efforts might be spent for the kingdom, even if it means their life? You ever prayed that way for a friend in a tough situation? Ever prayed that way for a missionary friend who's in a hostile situation? Lord, if it's even your will to take their life, go ahead and do it if it'll further your kingdom. You ever prayed that way? That's tough. That's right. This morning we're going to look at how Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers. And what this morning is a prayer workshop wrapped in a sermon, or a sermon wrapped around a prayer workshop, where you're actually going to get to pray, but not the kind of praying where you get in groups and do that. This is going to be in your heart of hearts, that you would hopefully restructure some of the praying that you've been doing so that it really matters for people, instead of the list of, and Lord bless them, and Lord bless them, and Lord bless them, and Lord bless them. So if you got your Bible, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. I'm going to read it for you, okay? So you find it, Ephesians chapter 3. You should know about this. Listen, we've got a guest speaker next Sunday. 2 weeks after that, I've got a challenge for us at the beginning of our year. I'm on an academic schedule, so the beginning of our year for us as a church body as to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And then 3 weeks from today, we start a series in Philippians that's going to go for about 10 months or more. In there, they tell me on the calendar, there's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas, there's Good Friday, and there's Easter. A lot of stuff coming up, including New Year's Day and July 4th, and then next Labor Day. All right, that's the update on the calendar. Let's look at the scripture together. Paul talks here to the Ephesian people about praying and what he's praying. So let's see, what is Paul praying for? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, listen to this real careful here, verse 18, may have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I've got to ask you this. How many sermons are in that material that I just read? Anybody? How many? A couple? A few? I think we could spend the rest of the next 5-10 years together studying what Paul just prayed for. There's so much stuff here. We're just going to highlight what he was praying for. You got your note sheet? Okay, this is hopefully will make our praying more impactful. The first point I want you to see is this. Look at verse 16. Paul says that he prayed that you may be strengthened in the inner man. But I want you to see, that's our first point, but I want you to see before that in verse 14, Paul says that he kneels before the Father. Now, I don't believe Paul's prescribing a posture for prayer here, but I think you need to see through Scripture, people prayed in every kind of situation with their body. But Paul says that he kneels before the Father to show the fact that he's got an attitude of submission, to show that this is an intense passion, an intense need. And I don't know if in your life you've gotten to the place where you just felt like, I need to pray. I was with an elder board one time, and dramatic stuff, bad by the way, had taken place. And I was sitting with an elder board, and I was a young guy in my 30s. And the leader of that elder board, who was one of the most godly people and still a friend to this day and quite a bit older than me, said this, gentlemen, we need to pray. We prayed all the time. I didn't think anything of it. And then he did this. He said, let's go in the sanctuary. So we went from the meeting room we were in into the sanctuary. Sanctuary's just got one little light on it. And he says, and gentlemen, I invite you to pray with me. So you know what I did? I sat in a chair up toward the front where all the elders were. You know what he did? I haven't seen it since, by the way. He laid on the floor with his face down, and he put his, and I'm not going to do it for you, and he put his hands out with his face into the carpet like that. And other elders joined him in the front in this prostrate, laid out form, face in the ground, praying, and I, like an idiot, was sitting in a chair in the front row. and didn't know what to do. So I got on my knees. Now, that's still vividly in my mind as I heard men with their faces into the ground in that form, that posture, praying and asking for God's will because they didn't know the next steps as a church that they should take. Alrighty? I've been with other elder boards where they routinely get on their knees and pray. Our board routinely prays. All good stuff. The posture is not important. But for someone like Paul and his rank in the kingdom to show this intense passion, this intense need, this intense submission, that really makes me take notice that he said that he's kneeling before the Father. If you're taking notes, in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Luke 21, 36, Jesus said this, to keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you might have strength. Interesting. Let's keep going. Paul here prays that the Ephesian believers would have strength. Well, that tells me something. You mean to tell me amongst the Ephesian believers, there wasn't a group of people who were strong? I don't want to play like I'm dumb here, but in a group like ours, aren't there some people among our group this morning, leaders who are strong spiritually already? That group had to be in the church in Ephesus. They had to be there. Men and women who are already strong. But what's Paul praying for? He's praying that they might be strengthened in the inner man. Basically with a strength that they didn't have. With resources they didn't have. And I want you to notice this. Paul doesn't fall into the trap of praying for their money needs or their health needs. Do you think these folks had needs? Do you think you're any different than them? Do you think they had family problems? Do you think they had problems with a teenage son or teenage daughter? Do you think they had problems paying their bills? Do you think they had problems with recurring and occurring health problems? Do you think these people in the human condition were any different than us? No, and maybe even worse in some places. But Paul bypasses all of that stuff, and he goes somewhere else to pray for strengthening in the inner man. The thing that you have to notice about Paul praying, which just amazes me, he's writing this book from prison. Prison, a hole in the ground. Prison, not like you're thinking, prison, no bathroom. Just go in a corner of the hole in the ground we've got you in. Prison, no meals served on a time. You hopefully know somebody who comes by and gives you some food. If you don't have somebody who does that, you don't get any food. This day, next day, we don't care. You're a prisoner. Paul sitting in a dumpy prison, knowing at any time that he could be facing his own death, he prays himself and he asks prayer. And you know what the prayer asks for? You got your Bible there. In Ephesians 6:19, he prays that he might proclaim the message from his mouth with more clarity and more boldness. Really? Isn't that the thing that got you put in prison in the first place? And now you're praying that you can do it more? Yeah, because he was more concerned about getting the message out. Paul here desires that the inner man might be strong, but doesn't pray for the outer man. And when I pray, and typically go to prayer gatherings, people pray for the outer person all the time, don't they? You could do it right now. There's probably almost no one in this room that's completely happy with their physicality. True? Could you make a list right now? And by the way, as you get older, this list grows. But could you make a list? You know what I'm talking about, okay? Could you make a list right now of the top two things that physically with you you'd like to have fixed? Could you do that? Everybody could. Hold it. This is almost a test of your birth certificate. Here we go. Could you make it the top three things in your life physically that need to be fixed? Could you do that? Could you make that list for me? Yeah, you could. And now here we go. As the birth certificate happens to, birth certificates never move, by the way. Those dates are like in concrete. So here we go. Four things, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Could you fill up most of a sheet of paper with physical complaints that you would like to have fixed by God? Right down to the fact, oh, this little pinky joint here, every so often when it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it pings. Hear it? Ping, ping. That means it's going to rain. Ping. Or I've got sonar in my finger. I'm not sure which. Ping. I'd like that fixed too. Get the idea? The idea is, quite frankly, that this outer man will continue to have a longer and longer list of health things that are not completely correct. You'll get up one morning, you're okay yesterday, you get up this morning and you go, what in the world is that pain from? Oh my, what's that? Oh my goodness, what's that? What's that? Anybody? Except for me, I don't know who has these things. Okay, good. And I think Paul realized that the outer man was here to be spent. The outer man was going to be spent. The outer man was going to deteriorate. The outer man was going to pass away. The outer man was going to be put in a grave. And you know what? None of that's an excuse for not doing the mission. So he prays in Ephesians 6:19 that this message from his mouth would go further. And now he's praying for the inner man that they would be strengthened, because it's from that inner man that the kingdom's going to be preached. In, got your notes, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He talks about this inner man being renewed day by day, a work that God was doing, transforming. It's almost diametrical pictures. On one side of the fence, my body is falling apart. Day by day, creak, hurt, pain, disease, who knows what. It's changing before your eyes, this thing, the outer man. And the opposite picture that over here is the inner man, being renewed day by day to be more like Jesus Christ. Why do we want to do an HD discipleship group? Because we realize that it's in the study of the Scripture with the tutor of the Holy Spirit that that inner person is renewed and is changed from the inside out to be more like Jesus Christ. The pictures are incompatible. The one is of the physical body deteriorating. Have you ever seen those time-lapse things that they do where they take like a 95-year-old person and they start when they're a little girl and they show picture after picture, picture real quick, and you watch them age right in front of your eyes until 95, the last picture is taken and they're gone. And you go, whew. And theoretically, that picture's true of everybody. But then over here's this other one for the believer in Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we grow and we're changed and we're renewed and we're transformed. Are you getting the idea? Into Jesus Christ. And what does Paul pray for? That in that inner person, that inner man, we'd be strengthened. All right. Even here in verse 17, Paul says that if that be true, then Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith. So let's do the first part of our exercise. See on the notes there? It says prayer exercise underneath that. There are times we might get together in groups and pray and this and that. This is not one of those times. Listen, I believe that most of you in this room take serious the ministry and prayer. In fact, if we've got folks who listen to this on the internet now. We've gotten some feedback. People out of the area listen to this on the internet. And this will be on the internet this week. And if you're listening on the internet right now, you can do this prayer exercise as well, and you really should do this prayer exercise as well. Here it is. I want you right now, you don't have to close your eyes, but think with me. And if we talk about the active ministry of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit is involved with me and leading me and guiding me, then I believe he leads in this kind of stuff. And that is this. Could you think for just a moment of somebody that you should be praying for? Think. Is there somebody right now as you think, maybe somebody you haven't prayed for in a while, haven't thought about in a while, maybe the Holy Spirit's bringing someone to mind right now. Can you think of somebody that you should be praying for right now? You thinking? If you can't find anything, let the Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit, show me. Who should I be praying? Who should I be praying for? This is going to be our prayer exercise for the next 15 minutes or so. Okay, have you isolated that person? Have you got your finger on that person's name? Good. Then here's what I'd like you to do. You maybe have never prayed this way for this person other than the bless me prayers. But here's the prayer for them this morning. Would you bow your head with me right now? And would you pray for that person by name? And would you pray that they would be strengthened in their inner man, in their inner woman by the Holy Spirit? Would you pray that way? That they would be strengthened in their inner person. Would you pray that way right now? And we thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. Amen. Second point this morning is the second thing that Paul prays for. It's in verses 17 and 18. He prays that you may be rooted and established in love. Talk about something I didn't see coming here. You're talking about a hostile environment for the Christian. A hostile environment where he himself is already in prison, writing from prison. You think you don't want to upset the apple cart anymore, but here he is. And with all the things you could pray for, he's going to pray that the Ephesians might be rooted and established in love. Love. Oh. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that slight queasy feeling that I feel when I look at her. Isn't that too bad that our culture has reduced love down to that, okay? You ever see it done in movies and in cartoons where somebody sees that beautiful girl, that good-looking guy come in and they go, and you see stars start to fly out of the back of their head or eyes, wherever they come from, okay? And you go, oh, they're in love. I can tell. That's sad, isn't it? That's not what we're talking about here. This is multifaceted. It's very complex. But apparently, I need to be grounded in this love as a foundation that's been expressed to me, this love by God through Jesus Christ. To discuss that's another 20 sermons. But I want you to see one thing in here, and I don't have all day to spend on it, but I need you to see this. That I, along with the other followers of Christ, are to grasp how dynamic the love of Jesus is. Look at the terminology that's in here in verse 18. How wide. I've never even heard this talked about in love. I'm out with my wife, and we're going to get married, and we're getting engaged, and I'm trying to pledge my love to her and win her over, because I don't have, like in the Old Testament, goats and sheep to give her. And she'd be impressed that I just brought two heifers and a goat over, and she goes, oh, you love me, all right? I got none of that stuff where I lived in the city, so I've got to impress her with language. No comments from anybody of you who thinks you're a friend of mine, okay? Let that go. But here I am at that intense moment. We're about to be engaged. I'm on my knees. In my case, I should have been spread out on the floor like those elders, okay? But I'm on my knees, and here I am, and I'm pouring my heart out, and I love you, and it comes to me what to say. My love for you is so wide, and it's so long, and it's so high, and it's so deep. That's my love for you. She would have bolted out of there. She would have bolted out of that 7-Eleven that we had for a date, okay? She would have been gone. But apparently, according to Paul, I need to come to some grasping of how wide and long and how high and deep the love of Christ is for me. And I'm putting terms on here that we never talk about. But the fact of the matter is, his love is not measurable. I got people here dealing these kind of measurements. And how wide is the love of Christ? You can't measure it. How long? Can't measure it. How high? Can't measure it. How deep? Can't measure it. Because it is so enormous a thing. And we throw it around today, have the love of Jesus, and etc., without going in here and looking at what kind of love this was. This is that self-sacrificing kind of love. This is the kind of love that I do for you before I do for me, where I'm in a culture that says, I do for me before anybody else because I deserve it. And if you watch the right girl coloring hair commercial, she'll say this, and I'm worth it. Really? Really feel that about yourself? It's not working for me, but maybe for some of you it's working real good. Fact of the matter is, I'm compelled to act. In fact, I listened to somebody a little bit earlier this week and said this, that if you really have the self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ, it always shows itself in action. So I'm listening to this guy on YouTube, greatest invention and worst invention, because you can listen to all these people from around the world, especially people that I like. And you know what? He said, if your love for Jesus Christ, as you say with your mouth, hasn't translated into a love that goes to your feet and goes to your hand and goes to your mind and turns into action. He said, if it hasn't turned into action, then you don't have the love of Jesus Christ. And then he said this, and I'm talking to you Christians. I'm talking to you followers of Christ, you who say you're believers. And I was on YouTube, and I know he couldn't see me, but I was kind of like, okay. That was tough to listen to. But he's right. This kind of love, this self-sacrificing, agape kind of love, this love that is totally selfless in every single way, that denies oneself to give to somebody else, is the picture of God sending Jesus Christ to this earth. And you know what? I need to start to get in touch with it so that it does respond in action. This one experience of love, if you haven't thought of this or not, this one experience of love is something that is to overwhelm you in this life, and then, listen to me, it overwhelms you in the next. You think you're over it once you leave this planet and go to be with him forever? No, you're not, because that's when you're going to understand it a little bit better than you do here, and you're going to go like this, I didn't know. Now that I see God, now that I see Jesus, now didn't realize. It's that big. It's that big. And when an angel grabs you in heaven, this is my vision of how this is going to happen, okay? Paul says angels long to look into this. My vision is, you love this, okay, is that I'll be walking down a street like New York. Now, I got it in my type of situation I've been in my life, okay? So I'm walking down a darkened street in heaven. You should watch yourself because you never know what can happen on a darkened street. But I'm walking down a darkened street in heaven. And as I'm walking down this street, an angel is in an alley. And he goes this, psst, little bald man. Yes? Come here. Angel's going to pull me. Now, I know it's heaven, so he's not going to mug me. Okay, so I'm okay there. But he's going to pull me in an alley, and he's going to go, hey, listen, I have heard forever about the love of God. I have seen what he did with Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to die for you. We've only got to watch some of this, but you got to experience it because he died for you. Could you just take a couple of minutes and tell me what that was like? I'm going to go, dude, let me tell you what it was like. You should have seen it down on earth. There was a lot of sin. You should see on earth, even in God's people, we did whatever we wanted to do, and we were justified in doing it because we were worth it. We were somebody's. But you know what? God sent Jesus Christ. It took over my life there. And now that I'm here and I see what I see, I didn't realize. It was fantastic. I'm overwhelmed with his love. And oh, by the way, because we're in a dark alley, I'm kind of scared, okay? And the angel's got like 18 wings, and that's kind of spooky in and of itself, all right? I look at him and watch, say, hey, we got to go. Because there's a big assembly going to go worship God, and I don't want to miss that. Let's get out of here. And I go down with the angel, and we worship side by side. He worships God from one perspective, being in heaven all this time. I worship him from the perspective of I was on earth, I deserve hell, I'm now here forever. And I worship wide open with him. And you know what? That's understanding the love a little bit. That's understanding what it gets to be means to be an object of his love. And I'm going to do that for how many years? Probably about 2,000 or 3,000. And then after that, I'm going to get tired of doing it. And I'm just going to go sit in my easy chair and watch cable because I've done that before. No. Here's what's going to happen after 2,000 or 3,000 years. It's still fresh. It's still real because you're in the presence of God. Hundreds of thousands and millions of years go by and billions of years go by and nobody's keeping a clock anyway. You will continue to have the freshness of worshiping God over this one key element, and that is that you are an object of his love. And that worship starts now. So listen, blows me away. You picked out a person before, didn't you? Do you still remember who it is? Bow your head. Maybe you've never prayed this way for them. Would you pray that they might be rooted and established in love? Would you do that right now? By name, would you pray that they would be rooted and established in love? Do that. Again, Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer, just as you always do. Amen. The third area I wanted you to see this morning that Paul's prays for is in verse 19. He prays that they would be filled up, a term that's been misused and misused vehemently throughout our culture by people with, I believe, ill motives toward the cross. Don't get me started on that, all right? But I shouldn't have said it like that, but it's true. Third point, he prays that they might be filled up. That word filled up is a word which means total dominance, to be filled up to the full line. It means when you're measuring something and you want a cup of it, and you've only got a cup measure. I like those, by the way, because a cup measure means when you get that cup thing filled up to the top, it's a cup. I love that. And so when I spend a lot of time in the kitchen when I'm cooking, I take out the cup measure. And when I need a cup of something, I fill it up to the tippy-tippy top because that's a cup. Except if it's flour or something dry, then I take a big scoop out and it's piled over the top and I throw that all in, we're good to go. But when it comes to liquid stuff, I fill that up, and when it's totally filled up, that's this word, okay? Filled up to the point of full where nothing else can be. Meaning, in verse 19, we're filled up with all the fullness of God. We're totally filled with God. We're totally dominated by God. And so much so that when you're totally dominated by God, listen, nothing else can dominate you. There's no room for anything else. In fact, in Ephesians 4:13 here, Paul says that we're to be filled with the fullness of Christ. This is deep stuff. This is deep end of the pool kind of stuff. He wants me to be filled up with Jesus Christ. He wants me to be filled. God wants me to be filled up with himself. He wants to totally dominate me with his very person. So I start to think, what's the very person of God? What's the very person of Jesus Christ? And when I go look at that, I start to look at the characteristics of God. I start to look at the attributes of God. I start to look, listen carefully, to the behaviors of God. Here we go, a little deeper stuff now. I start to look to the, listen to me, the reactions of God in different situations. Stay with me on this. I start to look at the attitudes of God about different things. Okay. I look at his power. I look at his majesty. I look at his wisdom. I look at his love. I got a lot here. I might go for wellness, okay? I look at his mercy. I look at his kindness. I look at his patience. I look at his long-suffering. I look at his righteousness. I got more. But you get the idea. I look at all of whatever that is that's God, and he says this, I want you to be filled up with me. And the me is that and a lot more. What does that mean in this culture that he has placed me in divinely? If you haven't figured that out yet, you're here on a mission, you know that. What does that mean in this culture that I be filled up with God and take that out there? What does that mean? What does that indicate? That I need to go out there filled up with the stuff of God, the stuff I just mentioned and a lot more stuff. What does that mean that I take that and take it out there? How does that go? How are you doing with that? Are you enjoying that? Are you finding it uncomfortable? You should. You willing to pay a price to make it happen? You willing to have somebody exact the price out of you because you happen to be filled up with God and you go into that situation and then you talk like you do, like maybe you're from there and you know that doesn't play well. How's that working out for you? Usually not well. In Paul's case, he did what he did, filled up with God. It got him thrown in prison, facing death, in horrible situations. And Paul was like, I don't care. I got a bigger mission. I got a cold. Could you pray for me? I've got a cold. I've got a cold. I don't know where I got it, but I got a cold. Pray for me. Okay, that might be valid. You might really be struggling with that cold. But shouldn't the greater things that we pray for be this mission that we've been put on the planet for? To be spent for the remaining years we got left, whatever it is, and years, could be months and could be minutes. For that remaining time, isn't that the bigger purpose of what I pray for in your life? That you've got, I'm sorry you've got a cold. But how are you doing in that mission that God put you on? That's part of this Bible study thing we're talking about, this HD Bible study. The fact that people will actually help you figure out what your mission is. And then in figuring that out, we'll also be asking you about how you're doing with that as you bring the fullness of God, the dominance of God in your life, into the situation that he's put you. And it may put you in awkwardness and pressure if you're in that position. Now, when I consider all this, if I were to sit down the last point with the love of God, if I sit here with the fullness of God and make some notes and ponder it, where does it lead me? Well, it leads me to worship. It leads me to giving of myself. It leads me to serve. It leads me to pray much different than ever as I pray for people around me. Okay, you got that person you prayed for? That you're praying for? Last part of the exercise. Bow your head right now and pray for that person that you selected and ask that God may fill them up with himself. And then add a little bit of a bold prayer to that. You're going to pray that God may fill them up with himself and all that that means. That's dangerous praying. Why don't you do that right now for the person that you selected before? Amen. Now, how are you going to pray this week? When God puts somebody on your heart to pray for, and this could be a spouse, this could be a parent, this could be a child, this could be a relative, this could be a close friend. When you go to praying for them now this week, how are you going to pray for them? You're going to pray for their cold, you might. But are you going to pray for bigger stuff? Are you going to pray for the transformational effect in their life? And I'll tell you why you want to. Look in your scripture. In verse 20 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The reality is this. Your prayer matters. God's looking to answer that prayer, and he's looking to enable ministry and his effect and his personhood in the people that you're praying for. So pray for the deep stuff for those folks that they might truly make a difference for his kingdom and have impact. You know what? And then in a few years, we'll stand in another place when this life is over, and we'll talk about these glory war stories and how God got the victory in all of them. And as we share with each other, I firmly believe this, as we share with each other in heaven, we will actually bring more glory to God, because they're going to be great stories, because we'll say, and you know what else God did? And you know what else God did? And I didn't see this coming, but God did this. And it starts here with praying correctly for the people around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this scripture. Father, we thank you mostly for the fact that you want to continue to work within us in a deeper way, in a more effective way, in a way that matters most for you, and in a way that brings you the most glory. And Father, we as a group right now place ourselves before you and ask that you might do exactly what you need to do in our physical lives to bring more glory to yourself and further your kingdom. We give ourselves totally over as living sacrifices. Father, take us and use us for that purpose. And we will thank you now and forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing this great hymn together.